Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Chrissy, your host for Wait, What Are We Talking About? And tonight, what we're talking about is the wonderful world of Lars von Trier. Now, there are probably some out there that wouldn't consider von Trier to be all that wonderful. It's a bit of a controversy quarter, which is one of the reasons I like him, and that's also one of the reasons my guest host tonight, Chris, likes him. Say hello, Chris.
Hello, Chris.
You're a smart aleck like me. Okay. Before we jump into it, I have a listener out there who is waiting for this announcement, and I've been waiting to make the announcement. I have a friend that I have actually never met in person. They are in the Netherlands. Their name is Fetter, and we have hit it off incredibly quickly. And just today, we did the cute little silly romantic thing of posting on Facebook that we're in a relationship. So this is just my way of telling everybody I'm in love, and yay for me. And yay for Fetter. I'm talking about the dark and grisly stuff since we've gotten all the warm and fuzzy stuff out of the way.
All the warms and the fuzzies. There's nothing wrong with the warm and fuzzy, and I mean, we're talking about the Von Trier movies. Even the Von Trier movies have a little bit of warm and fuzzy in them. You may have to look sometimes,
really?
But you know, it's there. So, you know, but you and I have talked on several occasions about Von Trier, and.
Man, that's one of the first things you ever talked about when the day I walked in and met you and Rachel. I'm sorry, I talked over you.
No, that's fine. And the fact is that now this is my opinion, and you know, like most things, people are free to disagree. Just know that they're wrong if they disagree with me on this. Von Trier is one of those people. No, seriously, Von Trier is one of those people that 99.99% of the people are going to fall into one of two categories. You're either going to love everything he does, and he is a movie-making deity, or they're going to fall into the category of they wish that he would put the barrel in his mouth, have a hollow point in the chamber, and pull the trigger. They detest everything about him, and it wouldn't matter what he did, they'd hate it. Most people do not fall into a middle category with Von Trier, and he doesn't want it that way. He let's be honest, the guy gets off on whether you love him or hate him. And
he's totally a provocateur. He's absolutely a provocateur. He's the definition of the word.
And
you're right.
I tend to equate him, honestly, to Andy Kaufman. With Andy, a lot of times you didn't know whether he was being legit or he was having a rib at your expense. And I think that tend to be more abrasive about it. But, there are times when you're like, he's got to be having you. All right, Cannes Film Festival and his Nazi remarks that got him kicked out of Cannes for a year. Let's be honest. He knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing and where he was at.
It was the best publicity he could have gotten for that. And, I used to say that Stanley Kubrick is one of those love him or hate him directors. And there's no middle of the roaders. That's really the case for Von Trier. I mean, there is no. I'd never met anybody that had a mediocre reaction to it, except maybe Rachel, because she just thinks he's too slow. And, of course, leave it to Phoebe. My bad. I outed her. I've done that before. She'll survive. No one's trying to kill her. She's not in witness protection or anything. But Phoebe just thinks she's too slow. So leave it to her to be the one mediocre dissenter, because Von Trier does not – his movies do not court a moderate opinion. They court insane, passionate love, or they court, like, as you say, hatred, you know?
Yes. And I mean, like, Vicky and I were here at the house today, and we did a Von Trier marathon. We watched.
Yes, you did.
Dancing. We watched Nymphomaniac. We watched. Oh gosh, now I'm brain farting on all the ones that we watched. And
did you break the waves?
No, we did not watch Breaking the Waves today. Let's see, Dancing with Bjork. Mandalay.
Yeah.
We watched with Bryce Dallas Howard. Who, frankly, if the movie's got her in it, I'm gonna love it just because I like her work.
She's a good actress.
But
arguably more talented than her father.
Look,
I'm sorry. I find her bow down to her dad.
I mean,
her
bow down to her dad because
sorry.
when you start out as Opie, and all of a sudden you're an Academy Award winning director, you know.
Yeah, see, the thing, he's never made a film that actually deserved. And this is a total tangent, but I'm taking it. He has never made a film that deserved Best Picture. Okay, never. Apollo 13, whichever number that was a dreadfully dull film. That just made me think of Marooned with Gregory Peck back in the 60s. it's Ron Howard's fault Solo is a crappy movie. It's his fault that we have one of the worst films in the Star Wars franchise. I'm not even a Star Wars nerd. I go see them when they come out in the theater, and that's pretty much it. And I'm still angry about that film.
Well, you know,
I'll be honest with you,
having grown up with the Star Wars movies, I think they jumped the shark a long time ago, and I think that it's long past time to just kind of go, okay, guys, this is it. It isn't just Star Wars. I mean, yeah. But anyhow, back to Von Trier.
Yeah. And we'll do this show another time, definitely.
Lars is the kind of guy that, first off, I mean, you've got to understand that he is extremely neurotic. He deals with multiple psychiatric issues. And for him, I mean, making films is extremely difficult. Because there are days where he literally can't work, and he's a demanding director, which puts more on it because he's not one of those. He's not an actor's director in a lot of cases.
No, he's not. But
by the same token, he can get the same actor or actress to do movie after movie after movie with him. And I think that's a testament to his work. And even people that were in his more quote unquote mainstream films from back in the day still appear in, let's say, one of the Depression trilogy. Or maybe they popped up in the house that Jack built. And I think that's a testament to him. Now, go ahead and touch on the elephant in the room. If we're going to talk about actors and actresses that will work with him again, let's go ahead and deal with the one that won't, Bjork. Very ugly situation. Accusations have flown in both directions. For years, it's obvious that neither are ever going to be on the other's holiday card list. I try very hard not to jump and say, okay, she's telling the truth and he's lying, or he's telling
right.
the truth
I mean,
and
he's,
she's
he's
lying.
He's a pretty dramatic person.
But you know, with the accusations that she's laid out, especially in this era of Me Too, the fact that you get so many women that still work with him on film after film. Charlotte Gainsbourg, who did the entire, you know, Depression trilogy with him. And let's be honest, she spent quite a bit of those movies, you know, all natural around Lars Van Trier.
And some pretty brutal situations in Nymphomaniac.
And some very brutal situations.
Antichrist.
She is very open about having that trust for him.
Criticize the Me Too movement, because what we found is that this stuff is happening. Toxic masculinity is definitely endemic. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying I'm not going to. What I'm saying is I'm trying to interpret your context. You're saying that he's a victim in this case of that. Somebody's using a legitimate
No.
Are you just thinking, gaining traction because
I can't take a side. Let's talk hypothesis, because I don't know what was actually said with those two around. Let's just take – you and I both know we're both old enough to remember days when jokes were made and comments were made, and it was funny. But nowadays,
I don't think we've said the name of the actress. I don't think we've said the name of the actress yet.
Which
one?
We're
talking about. The one that he's having the tiff with. Right,
York.
You did say that. I'm sorry. Yes, we did say it. Never mind.
Your host is absent-minded sometimes. It's okay. But, I mean, there are jokes that we are – great example, Polak jokes. Polak jokes were big when I was a kid. They wouldn't be appropriate today.
Even the word makes me grimace, because, I mean, that's a derogatory slang. That's an ethnic slang.
Yes, and if you listen to – there is one section, one little scene in Manderley where it's, and I'm going to censor a little bit for an audience nowadays, but it's N-word this and N-word that and N-word this and N-word that and N-word this and N-word that.
At the risk of drawing ire, I will say that sometimes there is an artistic context for applying that. And in a movie like Manderley, you almost couldn't make that movie without using that word.
No, I understand
that.
And I agree with you.
A lot of people.
But there are going to be people, there are going to be those that are bent out of shape because of any use of the word, any use of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right,
and there's always an extreme. There's always an extreme to everything. The pendulum swings hard both ways.
Let's move on to something else. People nowadays can watch a horror film, and one of the big horror tropes nowadays is as soon as the buxom blonde loses her shirt and she's getting intimate with the quarterback, the spear comes up through the bed, impaling them both. People have no problem with violence and violence on women in film. But
no, it's not the violence. Sexuality that disturbs them.
But the way Von Trier does it, it disturbs people because it makes them uncomfortable. You know that the spear is coming through the bed in Saw 650, but the way Von Trier does a lot of the female circumcision scene in Antichrist, the abortion scene Nymphomaniac. There we go. I could give a great scene as an example from the house that Jack built, but I know you haven't watched it yet, so I don't really want to put a lot of spoilers out there.
I have listeners, but I do want you to tell me what you can about this picture. Say what you can. I know you mentioned that you noticed
you could tell that it was because you saw the R-rated version. You said you could really tell from the editing. So tell me what, say what you can about the film.
Well, I mean, okay, if you look at all of his films, even going back to the days where they were more out there for the general public, he has a movie style where it's basically handheld cameras, a lot of zooming in and zooming out, and you know, swinging from actor to actor as they're talking. So it, you know, and the cutting is not always smooth, and he does it deliberately, you know. And so that's one of the things that you see a lot in the house that Jack built. Also, you know from other of Von Trier movies, he does them in chapters. House that Jack built is no different. It's done in chapters. They are independent of each other. They only come together to tell the entire arc of the story. It's an amazing story. You know, I think one of the things that genuinely bothers people, and I don't know why, is they say that it's glorifying violence and glorifying killers when they're saying this while they're standing in line to see the new Ted Bundy movie, or they're standing in line to see the next new Freddy Krueger movie.
Well, I'd like to say something on that. Hang on, I'd like to say something on that. People don't make qualitative judgments about, on say in this case, on screen violence. They just, you know, I think, you know, these, I think maybe what happens is they'll see some really exploitative example of it, and rightly maybe take some kind of umbrage at it because it's for whatever reason. But then you want to apply that same metric, or do you want to apply all the violence to that metric? No. I'm going to say this. I say it all the time, and I know everyone's tired of hearing me say it, but it's going to happen, so just deal with it. Roger Ebert always said it's not what a movie is about, but how it's about it. It's the context. It's the presentation. Von Trier's movies are brutal. They are more brutal than a lot of horror movies I've seen, and I've seen a lot of horror movies. But very deliberate subtext to those movies, and he just has a very harsh way of saying things because he has very strong messages to give, and he has very abrasive, attention-getting ways to basically slap you and say, this is what I'm trying to say. And
okay.
You're going to love it or hate it, but that's how you are about the truth, you know? Okay.
I'm going to give one spoiler from the house that Jack built. It's a scene of violence that really caused a lot of people to get up at cans and leave, even though the movie, the people that stayed, it got a 10-minute standing ovation when the film ended.
Right.
The actress in this little vignette, this chapter, was Sophie Grabel, and she and her quote-unquote two kids were going hunting with Jack. And he works things out where he's basically sort of like up in the deer stand, and they're down on the ground, and he fires the gun to where they all huddle together, and then one of the kids takes off running, and sure enough, he picks off the kid. Sophie Grabel screams, and she ends up like, do I stay with this kid? Do I run and check on that one? What do I do? And she runs towards that one that's been shot, and he shoots the other one, and he ends up shooting her at the end of the scene. And people just had an absolute fit over the fact that, oh my God, you dared to do two kids getting shot in your movie. And let's be
That's a taboo in American cinema. Look how very few American films do that.
No, but it's also a matter of that's what we were talking about, though, is that Von Trier puts real in there. I mean, there's no reason to say, you know, kids don't get shot when we know that they do.
Okay, well, here's some. This isn't a spoiler. This happens at the beginning of the film in Antichrist. The first thing that happens in that movie is this is the crux of the film, is a child
dies because his parents were busy having sex and they weren't paying attention, and he did a thing and it went south on him. You know, I mean, yeah, this is part of volunteer. Like, nope, here's some real stuff. Real, sometimes it's ugly. Here's some ugly stuff.
Yeah.
You can look at it.
And, you know, if you look at the female protagonists of Von Trier's movies, that's Von Trier. The female protagonists tend to be Von Trier. What
that's
he's trying to get across. Yes. And a lot of the time, especially with the Depression trilogy, he was having, and he was very open, he was having a lot of issues. And so that made it easy to say, this is where I want to go. You know, I don't know that Von Trier has it in him to make a mainstream movie. And I don't mean that as an insult. I think he's more of, look, I would rather respect what I'm making than just make it to make you feel good. Oh. I don't care if you go to my movie, because people are going to go just because it's me. People are going to go because, okay, what's he going to do this time? And, but, you know, but his movies, man, from one to the next, he has his fingerprints. He has the things that you see, and you know it's
his
film.
He's an auteur.
And,
I mean,
you know,
absolutely.
And he's so intelligent with the movie that he wants to make. And it, when you hear the actors and the actresses speak on working with him, you know, he knows what he wants, and he doesn't mind spending the time to get it. And, you know, that's something.
But,
I mean, and
did Bjork not know what she was getting into?
Do what now?
Did Bjork not know what she was getting into with him? It seems like
you know
he picks
what?
People, tries to pick people that
you
are
gotta realize
to do
that movie came out. That movie came out in, what, 1990, I think?
Okay.
Film came out.
This
isn't a modern... And see, that's another thing, is that guy-gal type stuff that, all right, yes, it was inappropriate then, but it tended to be laughed off then.
Mm-hmm.
Is the stuff that it's really not appropriate now, and it hits the fan. I mean, I like I said, I'm not saying that she's lying. I'm not saying that he's lying. I'm saying that it could also be a case of one, they don't like each other, that they genuinely walked away from their experience of working together with a visceral hatred of one another. And it's neither one of them can let it go. That's probably a big part of it.
I'm sure you did. First of all, let me say that Von Trier gets props just for, if nothing else, for making Shia LaBeouf like really function excellently in a cinematic context. Shia LaBeouf's not a bad actor, but he's never been just like, wow. And in Nymphomaniac, he was like, you're perfect for this. Granted, it was a douchebag character, so I don't know if you want to put any equal signs between those two things or not. I don't know. I haven't figured Shia LaBeouf out, and I really don't care to. And I think I'm butchering his name too. It doesn't matter. Point being, I remember him saying that like he found Von Trier frightening or something. He was very intimidated by Von Trier. And another thing, I know he's in more than one of his movies, but Stellan Skarsgård once said about Nymphomaniac that he just thought it was like 5 hours of pornography. And I'm like, well, that's interesting.
Well,
you worked with him more than once, but
Von Trier had made a remark Von Trier had made a remark when they were doing all the press junkets for Melancholia. And one of them was a joke, throwaway remark that he wanted his next film to be a porno. And so when he sent Charlotte Gainsbourg the script for the movie, before she ever read it, she had the idea that this was probably going to be one that she turned down, that she wasn't going to like it, that it was going to be pornography, that it was going to, you know, not have a story, and it was just going to be bumping uglies for however long. But she sat down and she read the script and she was like, oh my God, the story. Yeah. You're not going to have a movie called Nymphomaniac without a bunch of sex. There was enough sex.
No.
There was enough sex in the movie that they had porn doubles, because there was actual penetration in the movie.
Yes.
Oral and vaginal. And
but by definition,
it was
context,
shown.
That movie was not pornographic. That movie was not pornographic
No,
the context of
it was telling
the
story.
Pornography
and,
is by definition, pornography is by definition, at least legal definition, a work that is created with nothing more than prurient interest in mind. It's not a work of art. This is a work of art. There was a reason for this. And again, the movie was about sex, so what is Von Trier going to do? He's going to slap you in the face with it. And yes, as you say, it's about an infomaniac, and if Von Trier is going to tell that story, he's going to tell that story honestly.
Yes.
And that's
what
he did. And I also, hold on, one more thing. I want to say this about this movie.
Okay.
I didn't used to like Von Trier. I found him slow and just, you know, I could see why my friend liked him, but I was like, The movie, of all movies that turned me and made me absolutely fascinated by Von Trier, was, of all things, the 5.5-hour director's cut of Nymphomaniac. That movie riveted me.
Yes.
And even
Christian
Slater in it. That was just like, what in the heck, man?
But see, that's what I was talking about earlier. If you go to Google and search actors and actresses that have worked with Von Trier, or just pull up his movies and look at the cast and look at some of the names of people that have worked with him. I mean,
yes, Kiefer Sutherland,
Lauren Bacall worked with him. Yes, from Humphrey Bogart.
Help me remember the name of the actress in Melancholia. I always get her confused with another actress, and I don't want to say the wrong name. The
Kirsten
main
Dunst?
Actress in Melancholia. Yes, okay, I would have got
Kirsten
it right.
Kirsten Dunst.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
And then,
that was one of his more mainstream movies, quote-unquote, as you say.
You know, you've got Bjork. You've got Stellan Skarsgård. You've got, Howard. You've got... I mean, and just so many names.
Slater.
Danny Glover. And so many other names that just keep popping up, and you're just like, holy cow. I mean, they're big enough names that they can say, you know what? I don't want anything to do with Von Trier. You know, the script's good, but I don't want to work with this director, so I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
And they do it.
Reputation. By now, if you work with Von Trier, if you don't know what you're getting into, like, you're really in the wrong industry. You're not keeping up with your variety or something. You know, buy variety, read the stuff, or go online, whatever. You know, he's got a reputation. Now, Bjork, obviously, didn't have the reputation to maybe not entirely realize what she got into, whatever happened there. Nowadays, no. You do, I mean, Melancholia, for example, was actually a surprisingly tame movie for Von Trier. It had the same emotional palette, but it was very tame in terms of no female castration or no horrid S&M sequences, things like that. And that's something else about Nymphomaniac, and then I will pass it back to you. As much sex as was happening in that movie, another reason it doesn't really qualify as pornography to me is so much of it was not erotic at all. It was not a sexy movie. There was a lot of sex in it.
It was not
ugly.
Sex was an ends to a means. And because all she cared about, and this movie, of course, is as the lead character, Joe, is telling her story, it wasn't about love and tenderness. And honestly, I think what people were disturbed by is that she was almost telling the story as if she was male. That, for lack of a better term, that it wasn't a girly type story. It was a very raw and in your face kind of look. I was in the mood. I wanted some. I got some. There wasn't no emotion. I didn't want, you know, there was no breakfast in the morning. Let's get it on. Let's get it over with. Okay, get out of my bed. Go home. Somebody's waiting for next.
Right.
And, you know, but if you're, you know, if you think back to when the very end of the movie, when Stellan Skarsgård's character is killed, why was he killed? And this is one of the things that I throw up against people that don't like Von Trier. The one time where you were looking at something that bordered on sexual assault, the person died. All the other sex was consensual. Everybody knew what they were getting themselves into. But when Stellan Skarsgård's character came up and was going to force things and she killed him at the end of the movie, that's the one time where it was bordering on, excuse me, rape or sexual assault, however you want to word it. And, you know, one of the words that's thrown around with Von Trier is misogynistic or chauvinist and what have you. And I think he was very quick and very smart in this film to blatantly have the one case of, no, this isn't consensual, be one that shocked you because of its results. You know, the woman didn't get raped. The woman didn't get assaulted. She fought back and, you know, dealt with things as they had to be dealt with. And so, look, he's a guy that's – we've used the term. He's a provocateur. He's going to make you think. You know, and that's a problem in and of itself. Most people go to the movies and they fork out their $1 million for them and a date to get into the theater, and they just want to escape – and they don't want to think about anything. They just want a cookie cutter and a feel-good ending and, you know, all that. And that's what they want in a movie. And that's not what Von Trier does. Von Trier is going to make you look at – all right, we mentioned Mandalay and its use of racial terms. This was a movie that took place during a slavery time. But look at what he did. There were no settings. It was on basically a stage. It was almost like a play production that he filmed. There was nothing to make it aesthetically pleasing. It wasn't, let's say, Gone with the Wind with gorgeous southern mansions and plantations and girls in fancy dresses and whatnot. And it was bare bones, shading and background and dialogue, and it was ugly. But that's the topic that they were talking about. They were talking about racism. They were talking about – and nowadays you can't even look at it as simply racism. It's all the isms, whether you're not liking somebody because of the color of their skin or the language that they speak or how they pray or if they pray or who they go to bed with at night. You know, that's what that movie was talking about. And it had a tremendous cast. And what's ironic is it's part of what's now considered the American trilogy. It's that movie, The House Jack Built, and I'm absolutely brain farting on the other one.
So I thought Mandalay and Dogville were both American. I thought Dog. Oh, and by
Dogville,
the way,
that was the other
hang
one. Dogville
second.
Was the other one.
Well, Manderley is one of the American trilogy too. So one of the ones you just mentioned can't be.
It's Dogville.
Because Manderley is one of them. Because both
Manderley
those are the ones that
and the house that Jack built. And the house
okay.
that Jack built.
I just wanted to let everyone know we're Blog Talk Radio is having some slight issues, and so this is going to be an hour show tonight. So we have about 25 minutes left. Also, one moment. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, we have a.
Well, hello to whom?
I believe there they are. Hi, Phoebe.
Hi, guys.
Yes.
Sorry I'm late. It's been a very
okay.
Lars von Trier kind of day, so suffice it to say, fuck up.
Well, welcome to the party.
But not. What?
I said, welcome to the party.
He said, welcome.
Well, thank you, and I know that my Chrissy Christoph here has not seen this one yet, but I know that Christopher, one of my other great besties, apparently, if you have Chris in your name in any sort of sense, then you can probably be a godparent to one of my children. Just
probably. Or Chewy.
Because, yes, folks. These are the godparents to my children and at least my dog. My cats are assholes. Nobody likes them. it's been the kind of day that I watched Breaking the Waves for the first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, that was today because of the suggestions from everybody. I watched that
okay.
for the first time.
No,
I
still get it.
I was really hoping for a genuine LVT. Like, I need to see some fucked up psychology and some crazy, maybe bodily mutilation.
Then you need Nymphomaniac.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've seen some of that, but
yeah, you and I watched
some
of Antichrist.
And my day
yeah.
has been so messed up that I intentionally watched a Lars von Trier movie in the hopes that it was going to spark some sort of emotion in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the saddest, most boring, painfully long Lars von Trier movie that I have seen to date.
Okay, I was wrong. I was wrong, Chris. She's not mediocre on Von Trier. She's in the hater category. I mentioned earlier that I thought you were a middle of the roader on him, and so you were. I didn't realize that you hated him as much. I thought you were more of a middle of the roader. I guess you've tipped over and you don't like him. Because if this is how you feel about one of his movies, I think you're going to feel about all of his movies. If that's your reaction to Von Trier, that's going to be your reaction to Von Trier, unless you get a trigger to be like Nymphomaniac was with me.
Are you talking to me or to Christopher?
You.
Didn't you say you hated the movie?
I have a very, very visceral reaction to Lars von Trier. In fact, Christopher was the one who was there and showed me my first Lars von Trier, which happened to be Melancholia.
I'm just saying, okay. Well, you said this one was boring. I guess you didn't like this one then. I mean, I'm not criticizing. It's fine. I just, it's not a universal opinion.
It's like
this movie.
Christopher, our lovely co-host for the evening, is the one who showed me my first Lars von Trier. Also the first person in my life who was obsessed with Lars. Melancholy. And I'm not going to get into the deep... Hold on. I think you're somehow on speaker. Hold on, guys. I hate speakerphone. How does this happen to good people? Okay, you're on speaker.
No.
Sorry. So the first Lars von Trier I saw was Melancholia, and it was shortly after some things in my life that made it connect with me, and that, to this day, is the only movie I have ever gotten three quarters of the way through and said, I'm sorry, I can't finish this right now. I can't emotionally handle what's going on. And so when I was trying to watch a movie today that I hadn't seen from him, and I needed just that visceral, that emotion, that hurt and that love and that obsession, I needed a Lars von Trier movie. And I watched Breaking the Waters. And frankly,
Breaking the Water sounds like a third
like having a baby.
For bodily function. No, well,
I mean,
yeah,
it
go,
sounds like it
waves.
Should be on a
terrible.
What to expect before
absolutely
you're expecting
terrible.
Pamphlet or something. But no, the whole thing is, I was watching that intentionally for this Lars von Trier feeling that you get from his movies. And frankly, if I had known nothing about him having to do anything with it, and I had been in a really maudlin and I want to watch one of the slowest movies with no like motivating dialogue ever, it was a good movie. Story was good, the writing was fine, no visuals whatsoever, like it's one of the blandest filmed movies I've ever seen. And
it's early too. Maybe he wouldn't have. I would say
yeah,
he probably hadn't built
like,
the style yet. I've not seen it, so
it
I don't
know. It was 1991 or 6. I can't remember, one of the two. But the whole thing is, it was really bland. It was not what I was expecting, and that's fine. I'm not saying it was a bad movie. I'm saying that, you know, the name that he's made for himself as Lars von Trier, the director, this movie was not quite like that. I mean, yes, he had the long, and I'm talking exceedingly long, slow buildup. And by slow, I mean, holy God, I had a slug racing across the floor earlier while I was watching the movie, and the slug made it across
racing,
the living room before it even
so
got to the No, no, it was not. I've never seen that movie. Ooh. Even though I have kids, I've never
okay.
seen that one. No, it
you,
was a regular
you would know
slug.
It was that snail. Oh, slug,
and,
not a snail.
And,
anyway, never mind.
And that slug got to the end of my living room before that movie got to the juxtaposition, you know, because with Trier, like, that's his formula. It's like long, slow, psychological buildup, some crazy, awful, terrible thing happens, and then people slowly, mentally, and physically break down afterwards. Well, what I'm saying is that slug got across not even my living room, but my entire house before it even got to the point of something happening to the main characters that was going to take the story from, oh, I'm a very pious newlywed from a Scottish town that doesn't even know anything about sex. Like, literally, she had no idea. Like, they got married, and she was like, oh, you can have me now. And he's expecting her to, like, you know, jump on him or something, and she's like, what do I do now? Because she's from such a small, sheltered, very Catholic town, and I'm assuming the early 60s, that she legit has no idea how sex even works. And it took probably an hour and 15 minutes of the movie before the crux happened and things changed. So she was just a daft newlywed in an early 1960s, very sheltered Scottish town that was very happy with the fact that some oil rigger married her and apparently started teaching her about her body. Yay. Who didn't see that as an after-school special when they were in high school? And frankly, the only reason I got as far through the movie, which I did get to the end, but the only reason I got as far as I did is because A, I knew it was Lars von Trier, and B, I read the blurb, which was a very short blurb and really didn't give away too much about the movie, but enough to know that I have to wait until this thing happens and then see what happens after it, because the rest of this is bullshit.
Well, okay, let me ask. Let me ask Chris to respond to this. Chris, what? Why do you think she feels this way about the movie? Had he simply not developed his style yet at that point?
So I think she had one picture in her head and she got something else.
That can happen.
When you expect to watch a fight, let's say you're going to watch a fight, and you expect Mike Tyson to knock somebody out in 20 seconds, and all of a sudden it goes 12 rounds. You went to see the knockout. You didn't go to see the decision. So you're disappointed because you didn't see the knockout. Von Trier is not a fast movie.
And that's what I said.
But then
he isn't
fast now.
He's not a fast movie guy. But the whole point is, for this movie specifically, the whole point is with this movie is that I was hoping for something a little bit more. Something, I guess, on her. And no, I wasn't hoping for, you know, a first-round knockout, because I've seen a lot of Von Trier. In fact, you too are the reasons that I have gotten into Von Trier. Fellow listeners out there, wherever ye may be, Christopher, not my lovely host Christoph, is actually the reason I saw a Von Trier movie. I'm sorry, I didn't know if we had announced that or not, but as the podcast, I know you as Christoph. Okay, Chrissy, Christoph, either way, people know who I'm talking about. But I wasn't expecting the first round knockout. I was expecting more. I was expecting him to maybe land a few more punches. I was expecting him to be a little bit visually more appealing, because that is what I know, is that even if you're not that into whatever depressing, sexually depraved story that he's telling, even if you're not into that, his visuals alone are enough to knock you on your freaking socks.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know that he intentionally probably didn't make this a very visually pleasing movie, but the whole point is, like, I saw it too late. I saw it, you know, a bazillion years after the fact that it was done. I mean, like, it was early 90s, early to mid-90s. And by mid, I mean, I think 1996 is the latest it could have been done. I looked it up earlier, but I'm not on the computer right now. And I understand how movies were done back then, and that, you know, the cinematography wasn't quite like it is today. But
you also have to understand that he makes movies from a very, obviously, a very European as opposed to Hollywood style.
I am weighing this movie against his other movies.
Oh, sure. I mean,
I'm
well,
not weighing it to anybody else. I'm weighing, like, straight on, Lars von Trier versus Lars von Trier, and this movie being recommended to me by people, saying that was the only Lars von Trier movie that they even liked, I kind of had some trepidation, but I watched it, and I can see how it is definitely, even though there's a weird subplot at the end, the main plot at the end, I don't want to give spoilers because I know there's somebody here that hasn't seen it, even though there's that weird plot at the end, it's still a very tame, very palatable. It's a very palatable movie, and I think that's what offset me about it, was because that is not the Trier that we know and love. It was...
Well, see, like, one of the movies that we were talking about before you got here was Manderley. And a phrase that you're going to understand that Chrissy doesn't, 3-1 from another genre, Black Mirror. Bryce Dallas Howard, who was in that episode of Black Mirror, stars in Manderley.
I know, and I was talking about that earlier.
And this movie is filmed almost on a stage. There are no, there's no scenery or anything to it. But it is an amazing movie because of the dialogue and the topic and whatnot. So, again, this would be one of those movies for you of Von Trier that would kind of throw you off because you're not getting, yes, some of the cinematography like you see in Antichrist and, excuse me, and you see in Melancholia. Because, let's be honest, Von Trier and his company know how to do the cinematography and have the, you know, the amazing slow motion and what have you in the films that that just make the scene that much more powerful.
Right.
Guys, I need to hold on for a second. Our may be a resolve the technical difficulty. I have another one of our producers from Deviant Legion looking at our clock, and he says on where he's logged in, and he's showing that we actually have the full time allotment for the show. So it may just be the studio on my end is showing up wonky, or it may be that we that our live broadcast goes off in about 7 minutes, but the show will continue being recorded. If we go off the air, just go look for the just come to this link later and you can listen to the entire show. Hopefully we won't go off the air. We'll see what happens.
Well,
all right.
Can I say something really quick now that you're done with that?
Mm-hmm.
I very much love and appreciate everybody right now. And I know that I've been taking a bit of a vocal hiatus, but I've been dealing with some family and mental health issues for the past while. And I will still be on the show every week as much as I can. Like today, some of our blog talk issues actually kept me from calling in for part of the show. Some of it was because I was dealing with other matters. But I am probably going to have to go for the night. I'm not as experienced in Lars von Trier, but I think that you guys are good and can handle it. And I love
pretty
you
sure.
both, but I have a baby that keeps wanting me to kiss her feet, and it's getting ridiculous
well,
right now.
Go kiss some feet.
Okay,
no
well,
problem.
I'll tell her it's from
Auntie
Chrissy and Uncle Chris. And I love you guys, and I'm so, so sorry
yep.
that I'm not able to be here for the whole show. I did hear
okay.
a lot of what you were
Life
talking
happens.
About earlier, and it
Thank
was
you
great,
for checking in.
So.
I appreciate it.
I love
All
you
right,
guys.
Have a great rest
and
of the night.
I just wanted to tell you about
I will see you very soon.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Awesome.
Right,
bye-bye. Bye. Okay, Chris, what Von Trier have we not talked about that maybe you want to talk about?
You
sure,
know,
like,
you know, here's the thing.
You and I both know
in Little Rock terminology, we may have reached the peak of Pinnacle Mountain. But
Maybe.
Von Trier is Everest, so there's so much more.
Well, how about this?
Honestly, I think. Go ahead.
No, I just how about Kingdom?
Hello.
Kingdom.
You know what? Let's do Kingdom another night. You and I plan
okay.
at some point in the future, and we will do a show just on Kingdom. I haven't watched it in a while, to be honest
with you.
That's
a good idea.
And that's a great topic. We might want to honestly, and I'm not trying to take over your thing here, but we might want to make that a two-parter. We might want to make that a two-parter because that show is amazing. You know, it's another example of a great European show that the Americans tried to remake and butchered, but we won't get into that right now.
That's almost a show by itself.
At some point in the future, we'll do a Kingdom show. That'd be outstanding. But seeing as how we're going to basically be losing the viewers, I'd really rather not get into anything that, you know, all of a sudden we're going to just be cutting off and what have you.
Right.
This is nothing if not a fly by the seat of your pants show. What we'll do is we'll have it more structured and more planned. For those of you that are listening, seriously, Google is your friend. Look up Von Trier. Look up his movies. Find a way to watch them. We invite you to call in with your questions and comments, even if you hate the guy. Please call in and talk to us.
Just be civil. That's all we ask.
Because
Chrissy
and I don't have any problem running our mouths. But we'd really like to hear, what you have to say.
Yeah, you run your mouth, please. Please call in and run your mouth. I will let you. Okay.
Yes.
Well, see, this is what you call adaptation, and we are very good at that. We like to fly by the seat of our pants around here. You know, I have pants on right now. My mother would be alarmed if I didn't.
Okay.
That's great. I'm at my mother's house talking about Lars von Trier films. There's a certain level of irony there that I can't help but giggle at.
There is,
okay.
And a bit disturbing, but at least you got your pants on.
Yes. Yes. Cause that would be more disturbing. Okay.
Yeah, it
well,
would.
Thank you everybody for, yes. Thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for being here, Chris. I appreciate your expertise and definitely
going to
continue this discussion at some point. All right.
Okay,
Auntie Chrissy will be good night. Everybody have a wonderful evening.
Hasta la taco, folks.